trustworthy? And does your team implicitly trust you? They're some of the questions we want to explore in today's episode of the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. This is Darren Mitchell, and as always, thanks for joining me. Now, look, if you haven't subscribed, please do so, because that'll enable us to let you know when new episodes are up and running. And also, I'd love to get comments and a lot of feedback. If you take some time to give us a rating on iTunes, that'd be fantastic. Whether it's a 5, a 3, a 2, or a 1, doesn't really matter. Just rate the show, let me know. That'd be awesome. And if there's any space for comments on topics that you would like me to cover in future episodes, I'd love to get that feedback as well. So let's delve into today. The subject of today's topic is trust, and what I call the three key pillars of trust. Now, something that I've built my entire leadership career on, and something that I was focused on very early in my career, because I'd seen so many sales leaders before I became a sales leader try to build this thing through of trust, but they were doing anything but. They didn't have a level of credibility, and they weren't as trustworthy as I would think they needed to be in order to be what I call exceptional in the sales realm. And so I wanted to, when I got into the sales leadership game, I wanted to actually make my mark, and it was founded on a basis of trust. Now, the three key pillars we want to talk about today, which I'll go into in a second, but before we do that, I'd like to ask a question. What do you see within your environment, within your business, in terms of the leadership? Is there a level of trust there? Are people trustworthy? And are you giving out the impression to other people that you're trustworthy? What sort of feedback do you get? Because often you won't necessarily get the verbal feedback. You'll get feedback in terms of people's actions. Now, do people come to you on a regular basis, or do people tend to not come to you? Do they avoid you? And depending on the answer to that question, will determine in terms of the impression you're creating, what level of trust you've built within your team. If you find you've got people coming to you all the time, then chances are that you've got a fairly high level of trust that you've been able to create and build within your team. And it's something to be proud of, but it's also something to not get complacent on. It's something that we must be continuing to build on and continuing to earn the trust of our team in order to then earn the right to continue to lead them. But my experience over a number of years is there's been a number of sales leaders who may have got some short-term results, may have got some mid-term results, but they didn't end up getting the long-term sustainable results because they hadn't built this foundation and this bedrock of trust across these three key pillars. And it's something that is absolutely critical. So if you don't have these in place, then it's very difficult, and I would say it's almost impossible, to be a long-term, sustainable, exceptional sales leader. And this is what we all want to be, exceptional sales leaders. Now, what's fascinating to me is observing a lot of leaders over the years, a number of them, when they get into the sales leadership position, they've got the title. It might be the sales manager, sales director, general manager, whatever it is. They've got the title. Unfortunately, a lot of them think that because they've got the title, the level of trust that comes with that title is almost automatic. And so they go about executing their strategy, dealing with their team, almost to the point where trust is assumed. And I've seen many of them fall flat on their face because they made that dangerous assumption and didn't actually take the time to earn that trust and understand that it takes time and takes effort to build the muscle of trust. And you've got to earn the level of trust with your team before you can be considered to be trustworthy. One of the things you're going to find out very early on, and I've certainly found this out probably the first 90 days of my sales leadership career, is that the team is going to test you. They're going to test your mettle. They're going to test your level of performance. They're going to test your mindset. They're going to test everything. And so it's through that test, through that initiation, that you, if you do it well, you can actually establish the bedrock of trust. Which can hold you in really good stead for your entire sales leadership career. But as I said before, too many sales leaders unfortunately assume that just because they've got the title, they believe that trust comes automatically with that, and it simply doesn't. The fundamental of leadership is, and I learnt this very early in the piece, and it was one of the first things my mentor shared with me, is that in order for you to lead your team, you need to first earn the trust of your team and earn the right to lead them. Trust doesn't come automatically. And he said, look, think about this. When you first take over your team, you have to have 100% trust in them that they will deliver. And so for a better term in terms of cliches and stuff, their trust bank is going to be completely filled. So that's going to be completely topped up and filled. So they'll be then from that point forward, either making continual deposits into that trust bank, or they'll be starting to make withdrawals into that trust bank. So he said, from a leadership point of view, you've got to make sure that your team's trust bank is completely filled, and you've got to assume it's filled. And from there, they'll either make continual deposits or continual withdrawals. But he said, from a sales leadership point of view, your trust bank is completely empty. So what you've got to do is you've got to start making continual deposits into that trust bank so that you can build a level of trust, so that you can earn the trust of your team, and therefore, through the process of doing that, earn the right to lead your team. Because just because you've got the title, just because you've been given the mantle of sales leader, and whatever title that happens to be in your particular organization, and look, you might have been a fantastic salesperson, individual contributor, and delivered outstanding results. And look, that does count for something, but I tell you, from the moment you get into a sales leadership position, it's irrelevant. Because what's happening now is that the team is going to test you at every single moment. They're going to test you to see whether you are trustworthy. They're going to test you to see whether you're there for them or whether you're there for yourself. And so these three pillars of trust, what I call the bedrock of leadership, is absolutely fundamental to our ability to be exceptional over a long period of time. Now, I did touch on these in a couple of episodes ago in terms of the importance of trust, but I just wanted to expand on them and talk about one of the key areas that if we don't get this one right, it can completely diminish, if not completely undermine, our leadership. So the three core pillars of trust. The first one is reliability, and there is a formula that goes with this. Reliability. So when you think about reliability, it's about how do you do things? Do you do things when you say you're going to do things? Now, this might sound really obvious and really basic, but you'd be amazed at how many people, particularly leaders, fail the reliability test. And I've seen it so many times. And look, I've got both hands in the air. I've been guilty of this myself throughout my career. And that is, I might not return phone calls when I say I'm going to return phone calls, or I might not return phone calls at all. I might be negligent in not coming back to people via email in the time that I said I would. Now, all those little things adds up to a level of reliability, and people are going to be asking the question of me, and they'll be asking the question of you, am I reliable? Are you reliable? So from a reliability point of view, this is the first key pillar, and you've got to be really focused on this. So don't make promises that you cannot keep. Now, it's been said many times that it's best to underpromise and overdeliver, therefore you're exceeding expectations. And look, that may well be true. But let's just think about a really foundational level here is if you are simply doing the things you'll say you're going to do when you say you're going to do them, then you've got a much better opportunity of creating a level of trust based on the first key pillar of being reliable. So just ask yourself the question, even take a sample size of the last 2 weeks or the last month, and ask yourself, how reliable have you been? Now, this has to be really objective. It cannot be subjective. And if you start thinking about, oh, well, I didn't get return that phone call because something else come up, tough. It is irrelevant. Because from a reliability point of view, if you put it out there to say that you're going to do something, you better do it, because what's going to happen is if you don't, your team and others will be saying, there's now a question mark over this person's reliability. So the first key thing is around reliability. And as simple as this, if you're going to do something, and if you say you're going to do something, please do it. And please do it in the time that you say you're going to do. Because if you do that, then you've ticked off the first key pillar of trust being reliability. The second one is credibility. So how credible are you? Now, credibility can come from various different areas. Credibility can come from tenure, for example. So if you're in a business right now and you've worked your way up from, say, the bottom rungs of the business, and now you're leading the business or leading a sales team, then often by you having been through different levels of the organization and are now leading people who are at the level that you have been, often that can give you instant credibility in the eyes of your people, because they say, oh, well, Darren's been here or Tom's been there, and therefore they must understand what it's like for me to be in this role right now because they've been here. Now, that can often create a level of credibility in the eyes of your people because you've actually been in the role that they are. Now, this is something that's really important, because I experienced this back when I was going through university. And when we're going through university, we're doing an engineering degree, and a lot of the lecturers and tutors back then, this is back in the late 80s, early 90s, a lot of them were great theoretical teachers. They had a lot of information, and they had a lot of intelligent information. But when it came push to shove, we were doing an engineering degree based on building. So when it came to credibility, a lot of these lecturers and a lot of these tutors didn't necessarily have industry-backed knowledge. They hadn't been there. They were great at the theory. They could tell you what an engineering design should look like or how a building should be designed so that it doesn't fall over, but they hadn't necessarily practiced it in the real world. So from a level of credibility, it was somewhat tainted because they hadn't had the real-world experience. So think about credibility in that context as well. Look at what your experience has been and how you can draw on your experiences when you're dealing with your team, and give them case studies, give them examples on where things didn't go so well, because that's often the best teacher versus the things that did go well. But look on your experience and look at the examples you can draw upon to create a level of credibility for your team, so they're asking themselves the question, is this person credible? Do I trust them? Because A, they've either been where I am right now, or B, they've got the worldly experience that they can draw upon that makes it relevant for me right now, and it makes it relevant for the environment that we're operating in. So they're the first two, reliability and credibility. The third one is an interesting one, and it's called intimacy. Now, when I share this with a lot of people in workshops, a lot of people kind of look at me a little bit strangely, thinking, well, you're not suggesting that we need to be intimate with our team. And no, I'm not saying that at all, because that would, in many cases, and probably that's just wrong. But what it does mean is, how focused are you in building really strong, tangible, values-based relationships with your team? Are you truly interested in them, or are you just trying to get them to do stuff because you need to deliver the results to the business? Now, this is a question a lot of people are going to ask, is does my sales leader genuinely care for me? And if they do, how do they show that? So this is a question around intimacy. How good are you at building relationships? How good are you at really genuinely caring for your people, getting to know them not just as sales executives or individuals, but getting to know them as people? What are their interests outside of work? What are their kids' names? What are their partners' names? What sort of hobbies do they enjoy? When is their birthday? It's all these little things that they may seem incidental, and many people think, well, I don't need to know that because we're in a business context. Well, you would be amazed at the type of information you can gather and then use to your advantage, and I say that very respectfully, to build genuine relationships. Because when people truly understand that you genuinely care, you would be amazed at what they'll do for you and how quickly the level of trust that they have in you increases, because you've taken the time to genuinely care about them and get to know them as an individual. Now, there's too many sales leaders out there that focus their attention on the sales strategy and getting stuff done, and then driving their team to get their results. And that's all it's about. Now, that may well be a strategy that works for some, but what I've found is over the years, it only delivers short-term or mid-term sort of results. It doesn't actually set yourself up for long-term sustainable, consistent results. But the ones who can invest in their team and truly get to know their team, they build a thing called loyalty, and that loyalty becomes two-way, because it's a genuine care that they have for their team. And when that is put out, because the sales leader is looking to serve their team and actually get to know their team on a more personal level, it's amazing how that's reciprocated in terms of loyalty back, a level of trust that goes up, but also the thing called discretionary effort. So I know that for the sales leaders that I've worked for over the years, the ones that genuinely cared for me and wanted to know me as an individual, when the time for me to actually put the pedal to the metal and really put in some significant effort came, I would actually put more discretionary effort in, because that sales leader had taken the time to genuinely build that relationship with me, and I knew that they did care for me. So just think about that. How good are you right now at building relationships with your team? Do you build relationships with all of them, or have you got your select favorites? Now, be very wary of this. If you've got your favorites, that will actually come across to the rest of the team, and that could actually go against you. So be very, very conscious of that. When you're building relationships with your team, make sure you've got an even spread and you genuinely care about all of them. Recognizing they're all different, they all have different personality types, they all have strengths and weaknesses and all that sort of stuff, but you've got to be building that relationship with the entire team, because that's the only way you're going to be able to build that third pillar of trust. So there you have it. There's the three key pillars. Now, if you can do this, if you can build these, if you can build on your reliability and really focus on being reliable, that'll help you build a level of trust. If you can be credible, and credible, as I said, comes from either tenure, it could come from product knowledge, and it could come from technical knowledge or industry knowledge that's relevant, that could actually build credibility in the eyes of your team as well. And the third one there is the intimacy. So building really caring, strong, values-based relationships where it's not just about the number, it's a genuine focus and interest in the person and the people as people. Those three things in place can put you in a really good position to be trusted, and those are fantastic as bedrocks of your leadership moving forward. However, there's one thing that can undermine the whole thing, and you may have been working really hard at building those great relationships. You might be feeling really tight with your team and things are going great. There might be a lot of credibility there and you might have reliability. But here's one thing that can undermine the whole thing, and that is self-interest. Nothing will diminish trust, and nothing will, in some cases, destroy trust quicker than a leader who is only interested in what's in it for them. Now, you may not have actually need to say anything, but if your actions or even if your thinking has something to do with what's in it for me or what's the impact of me, and therefore it might actually impact your decision making, then very quickly your level of trust will diminish so quickly you won't know what's hit you. And so I've seen this happen many, many times in the past, and it's happening today across many different industries. There are leaders making decisions that are tainted with what's in it for them. And it could be a reward they're looking for, therefore they're influencing the team in a certain way, to behave a certain way, to do certain things so that reward come to the surface. Or it could be they're trying to avoid things. It could be that they're wanting to minimize an impact to themselves, and it could be profile, it could be positioning, whatever it is, right? But whatever you're doing as a leader, please make sure that it's not about you. Now, we've talked about a little bit about servant leadership, and I want to do some podcasts in the future around the importance of servant leadership and serving your team for the greater good. But just understand this, that if you're making any decision or doing anything in relation to your team around your leadership, where you are even remotely thinking about what is in it for you in terms of a positive outcome or an impact or negative impact, then please understand that your chances of being trusted long term are going to be diminished because of that thought process. So I trust that was of value. And I'll go back to the question I asked at the beginning of this podcast. Are you trustworthy? Can your team trust you? Does your team trust you? And if they do, how do you know? Now, if you actually objectively looked at that, and I also dare you to go and get some feedback from your team as well, ask them, you know, am I trusted? Do you trust me? And why do you trust me? Get some examples and get some feedback from them, because chances are that if you are trustworthy and your team does absolutely implicitly trust you, you get some feedback and some indications to say that, you know what, you are probably really reliable. You do what you say you're going to do. You got some credibility, or you got some skin in the game, and you got some experience that gives them comfort that you are the right person to lead them moving forward. And you might even get some feedback to say, you know what, you genuinely care about me as a person. It doesn't matter, you know, whether we've had a bad day or a good day, whether we've just lost a customer, whether we're, you know, in a bit of a struggle, you're consistent. And so I genuinely get the feeling that you're there for me. Now, if that is the feedback you're getting, then double thumbs up and kudos to you, and continue to use that, but never ever take that for granted, because trust is the bedrock of leadership. And if you can do this really well, you'll actually not only build a long-term loyal team, but you'll see that your results will go through the roof. Because if you have those three key pillars of trust in place, you'll find that your discretionary effort from your team will be exponential over time. And you'll find that there'll be other people coming to you and coming to the team, wanting to join the team because there's something special about what you've created. So please don't take this for granted. Please look at what you're doing for your team. Focus on those three core pillars, and you've got a really good position of being a trusted advisor and a trusted leader. And that's what makes leaders exceptional compared to their peers. So again, trust that was of value. If we haven't connected, love to connect. Best way to do that is either via LinkedIn. Send me a LinkedIn connection request and I'll be sure to accept that. If you wanted to talk to me via email, best email address is Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N at darrenmitchell.com.au. And if I can be of assistance in your leadership quest to become exceptional, I'd love to have a conversation as to how I can help you. So until next time, continue to be exceptional and have a great day. All the best.